I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, one of my professors was Gene Getz, and he always taught sitting down like this at a little table. And I thought, wouldn't that be fun to, I mean, in his church, he's the one that started the Fellowship Bible Church movement, if you've ever heard of Dr. Getz. And I shouldn't have wished that, because I got my wish to come true. But what a blessing to be with you. If you take your Bibles, Ephesians 4, and my report this evening and challenge is in tandem with what you already have in the annual report. But also, it's also tied with what we're doing in the home groups. In fact, this evening I'm going to just give you an overview of the thrust of the home groups, which is the purpose of shepherding being us sharing our lives together in the church. But specifically tonight in Ephesians 4, and we'll read verses 11 to 16 soon, it's our part. Each of us are sheep. Jesus calls us his flock, and he's the great shepherd. So what is our part that we are to do? It's so hard because in most of life, most people are spectators. At sports events, at fine arts events, even at academic debates or anything else, you just watch so much. And it's very easy for us to think that the church is a spectator event, and this evening it's not. Our part as sheep in Christ's flock is basically, as we'll see, each of us is to do our part of his plan, mending and equipping, and that's one area we'll see in chapter 4, and also building up and edifying of other believers in the church. That's the second facet. So Jesus, as Lord of his church, is inviting us and giving us a challenge, and that's what Ephesians 4 is about, for us to jump in and to do what our job description is. And it's very much local church based. In fact, this is so much a part of what the Lord's plan has always been. And he gives us what I call a specific job description. So I'm going to read starting at verse 11. You follow along in your Bibles. And it says, Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be apostles, and we read about those in the scriptures, and some as prophets, and most of those we have in the scriptures. Verse 11, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that is huge. The emphasis, if you look at verse 16, summing it up, every part does its share, and when every part does its share, it causes the growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. So basically, Paul is sharing the plan, and this is the plan Jesus gave for his church, and this is what we are to embrace as our coming, and especially that's why we plan this for our annual meeting. As members of Calvary Bible Church this year, we should be doing our part as sheep of Christ's flock. So that means none of us are spectators. In fact, I remember in the old years when I was at Grace Community Church, the Los Angeles Times came and did a report on our church. And they said, everybody's a minister at that church. They don't have one minister, they're all ministers. And I thought, that's nice for a liberal newspaper to compliment a church. It's rare. But basically, what they were saying is that everyone was mending and building up. Everyone was acting as a minister. Now, look in your Bible. You might have, in the New King James, the two Greek words we're going to look at are translated equipping and edifying. New American, it's equipping and building up. King James, it's perfecting and edifying. And the English Standard is equip and build up. But all of those words basically give God's goal for all of us. We're all supposed to be a part. And our spiritual health and spiritual growth is what we're to be bringing each other to. In other words, it's not that you hire a staff of pastors, and we have 5 full-time paid pastors. It's not like you hire them to do all the work. You hire them to, as it says in verse 12, to equip the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. All of us as sheep have the goal the Lord has given us. And basically, Paul says there's two concepts. They're twins. We're supposed to be an equipping church. We're supposed to be an edifying church. Both parts are very vital to the Lord. And what we have to see is, and if you look especially at verse 16 again, you notice that the ending says, it's the effective working by which every part does its share. And what's so amazing is that our responsibility is to operate in this way that we do our share. It's, in fact, for me, it's been interesting hobbling around. I found out that I can't carry my Bible and hold on and lift myself up with the crutches. I can't even carry my coffee cup. And it's very difficult to realize that there are certain times you can't do everything and you need someone else to do a part in sharing and helping. And that's what the church is like. Well, mending and building up lives is God's plan for all of us. And I want you to think about the picture that God gives us in his word. And basically, Paul, and remember, he's writing this just past the middle of the first half of the first century. And when he uses this picture, when you see in your Bible the word equipping, it was a word that jumped out. It would be like me saying chemo. I mean, that would, if I said we're all supposed to be involved in chemo, you would definitely know that's cancer care. If I said radiation, again, you'd know that it's a very strong cancer care. This was a medical term, and this word was an immediate picture in their mind. And the idea is this: saints buffeted by all the troubles of life need to be made whole. They need to be mended. They need to be repaired. And that picture is contained in this word, because the word equip in the Bible either is used for mending nets or outside the Bible for setting bones. It's a medical term that was in use in Paul's day, and it was so powerful. And what it spoke of is taking an injured or damaged or weakened thing and getting it back the way they were supposed to be. Now, can you see the connection? God says, look back at verse 16. Every part of the church does its share to help the whole body grow so it can be edified. Now, a body cannot be edified if it's not equipped. And the equip is setting the bone and getting the part mended. And basically, an equipping, edifying church is helping people where they are to be where God wants them to be. So we take them right where they are, but we show them how to get. And that's what our whole home studies are about. And we all need to help. And we all are to help each other. Now, plug those images right in. Because this is what has impacted Christ Church since Pentecost. When we look at the history of the church, it was always characterized by being a caring community where everybody ministered. In fact, when the lights went out, it was so neat that John kept going. I mean, I thought, we could have all thought that the church needs electricity to operate. Actually, the Spirit of God within us, we operate fine without electricity. Maybe not as beautifully, but fine. And that's the idea that the early church since Pentecost, when the church gathered obediently, they always realized Christ was present. And when Christ is present, he uses us to be part of his work of repairing our injuries from life's struggle. See, Jesus uses, you've probably heard that the only hands Christ has are our hands, the only feet Christ has are our feet. That's because he has chosen to work through us to repair the injuries that we go through in life. And so God uses Paul to explain the work each of us have as believers. God wants each of us actually doing something. And so that's why at this annual meeting time, it's time to sit back and think, am I actively participating? And you say, participating in what? Well, first, we gather to have torn places in our lives mended by God's word. God's word is a balm. It heals, it sanctifies, it works, it encourages us. Secondly, we gather to pray and to see God's spirit fixing and mending and restoring each part of our lives that have started to unravel. When we come prayerfully asking the Lord, and I see this happen so often. People will come in and they'll tell me, I'm bringing someone, or someone is coming, or I've invited someone, and they're really struggling with this or that. Will you pray that the Spirit of God will use? And we gather for that purpose, that as we gather, the Word of God is doing its part, but the Spirit of God, through our prayers, is operating internally. It's almost like we have, I had this arthroscopic where they stuck something inside where I could never go. Even better, and by the way, it's not very nice. It hurts, like all of you have found out. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God can go inside. I talk to parents all the time, and they say, what should I do to my kids? I said, the greatest thing you can do for your children, be consistent and pray. And the Spirit of God can be inside. And He is the one that can do the surgery that's needed. Number three, through understanding God's plan, and that's another part of our equipping and edifying church. We share with people God's plan. You notice here, it says, if you look at verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every time something new comes, immature believers get shaken. They'll say, I heard on TV that... maybe the Bible doesn't say that about this or that. You know, the whole homosexuality issue. People are saying, is that really in the Bible? There's a new wind of doctrine. See, many ungrounded people in the scriptures that come from churches that don't emphasize the scripture, they've been told that something isn't in the Bible, and they don't know whether it's in the Bible or not. And so that wave, look what it does. It tosses them to and fro. It carries them about. Every new doctrine, the trickery of men, just because some talking head says it on television doesn't make it true. And the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So that's the world we're living in. But look at verse 15. What are we each individually supposed to be doing? But speaking the truth in love. We go to people and say, no, God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. His plan hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. We speak the truth in love, and that causes God's plan, helps them get back on the road. They see that their broken down relationships can be mended. God's truth does it. The flat tires of their lost hope can be repaired. Their confidence and assurance can be restored, and they can go back to serving the Lord. But it's much like a broken down car. As long as it's broken down, it just sits there. It's not doing what it was designed to do. When believers are in this state of being out of joint and aren't mended, we can't do what God intended us to do. So when we're repaired and mended and built up, it's through His Spirit, it's through His Word, but it's also by Him using us as believers. Well, people getting repaired and built up, that's what's demonstrated cover to cover in the New Testament. And the church that offers these needed repairs is the church that's this equipping church. Now, I don't want to restudy what you're doing in home groups, but I'll just tell you what they are. There are six times the Bible describes what mending looks like, and I'll just run through these with you. Number one, in 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, mending makes us complete. You see, 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell, and here's the word right out of Ephesians 4:12, become complete. What Paul says, get mended. Mending souls are a choice. We must want Christ mending through others. We must want Him to use us to help others be made complete, peaceful, unified. This is the very same word that is used for setting a fracture or repairing a net. And Paul says, become complete. Mending makes us complete. Sometimes there's a part of our life that is out of place, that the Word of God, applied by the Spirit of God, that is emphasized through a loving believer coming alongside of us, gives us a choice. And when we make that choice to respond, we become complete. So number one, mending makes us complete. Number two, mending restores others and protects us. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," here's the work that we're all supposed to be doing, "restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted." We can come along and restore others spiritually. We can come along. That's what it says. We're supposed to, in gentleness, come along and restore. And that is a restoring of others and a protecting of us. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 uses the same thing. Mending grows us up. And this is the prayer element. Paul said, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." We actually can grow other people up, can help them nurture and grow, as 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says. And Jesus uses our prayers for needy believers within the church. And we can even come alongside someone and say, "I'm praying with you about that. I'm praying with you about that fear or about that struggle or about that area that keeps gnawing in your life, and I want to see you mended. Hebrews 13, this is one of my favorite verses that I always usually put at the end of when I sign my name. Mending focuses our lives on pleasing God. And this is the conclusion of Hebrews 13. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete." Jesus uses us within his church to be instruments, but it's him that's holding us. See, what it's neat to be, and that's why we're doing the Wednesday night biblical counseling and discipleship class, there's no greater thrill than to feel the Lord using us. It's like he uses us as an instrument. Now, apart from him, we're not an instrument, but when he holds and uses us to serve him, we are a part of making others complete in every good work to do his will. He works in us, which is well-pleasing in his sight. But mending focuses our lives that's what we're all about, that we're supposed to be having a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And finally, and this is kind of neat, Peter brings out the fact that mending builds our endurance. It says, "May the God of all grace, who called us by his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You see, part of the way that we're counseling and encouraging people is God allows affliction into our lives to build endurance. It's kind of like to learn. In fact, some dear kind fella opened the door so I could get into the men's room. I didn't realize how hard it was to push those doors open. And he held the door and helped me in and was talking to me about how many months, he knew 5 months and 18 days and 37 or something hours he was on crutches. And I said, "Did you ever feel that you were actually able to just hold yourself up?" He says, "Oh yeah, you get that quick." You know, it's the endurance is built. And that's what the Lord says. Mending builds our endurance. We're mended and perfected as we go through suffering. Well, this evening, as I finish this challenge, we should pause in our hearts and ask God to renew any part of our soul that's troubled. See, that's why we gather. To be encouraged, to be mended by the Lord, to mend any part of our heart that's broken, to heal any of our emotions that are frayed, to quiet our minds that is darkened or saddened, and to keep us on track. We ask the Lord. Now, he might use someone to bring a verse to us. In fact, many times in my life, after reading the Bible, as many times as I've read it, someone has come up and said, it was after a Q&A. They said, when I answer that question, I use this verse. And I look at them and I say, "I never thought of that verse before." Do you realize how much the Lord can take a verse in your life and can bring that? You should be willing to share and to say, "Lord, I want to be used." That's what God wants to do with us in our lives. He wants us to get tied to his word and to begin to see that his word is the lamp that guides us, the food that feeds us, and the comfort that cheers us. And being mended and built up means that we regularly learn that Jesus comes to us by the power of his Spirit, makes us pray through his word, makes us want to be in his word, gives us the power to do what he's asked us to do in his church. And that's our part as sheep in Christ's flock at Calvary Bible Church. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite Rod to come up and tell us whether we've passed muster on the votes. But let's just pray right now on those points and ask the Lord to mend us so we can be menders of others. Father, I thank you that we are sheep of your pasture, that we were purchased by you, the great shepherd of the sheep. And tonight, we ask that when we gather, every time that we gather in your name and you are here in the midst, that you would do what Ephesians 4:16 says you want to do. You want to energize every one of us to do our part, to reach out to those around us, to encourage them, to help get the bones set that are broken, the parts of their life that are frayed, in our own life, that we would receive that type of ministry and be healthy so we can share that type of ministry in a spirit of gentleness with others. And so, dear Lord, thank you for the reports tonight, Craig's report of the exceeding abundant overflow of all the financial needs being met in abundance, and of Rod's reading this wonderful roster of gifted, called, and godly servants of your church. And then, Father, as we can celebrate those leaders you've raised up, and then the communion of your body and blood, we are thrilled to gather in your name tonight. May we each do our part as your sheep in your body. For the sake and glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Do we have the results of the vote yet? I don't see anybody yet. They must still be counting.
Should we go into communion and then induct the members?
That would work.
Okay, how about communion team? Oh, Norm.
Can I make a statement? We were blessed by the report, of the financial report. But, you know, we have ministries that go above and beyond the regular budget. And I've had the privilege of being involved in three of those, and I just want to share with the congregation how thankful we are for your generous support of the Angel Tree Ministry. Right now there are children out at Mishawana Camp that are being ministered to because of the generosity. We have 90 children that are going out to camp this year. We're looking at about $27,000 worth of, for that, and 90 backpacks at about $50 per that people did on their own. The Christmas gifts, 122 children that received Christmas gifts, the Christmas baskets, the furniture that's been donated, clothing items. That is all above and beyond the budget. The Healthy Homes Program, I had the privilege of going on the last installation on that, and I thought, an old man like me with an artificial knee, what can I do? Well, I'll just be an encouragement. I'll fetch water and clap, when they're doing a good job. And the next thing I knew, Dan Smith and I are tearing out a window. Again, that is above and beyond the regular budget. That is additional offerings and gifts that people give. And I want to tell you, I am very proud of that group, because not only do they do an outstanding job, but we put in first-class windows in those homes. We put in better windows than I have in my own house. I know we're not supposed to have pride, but I was proud of Calvary Bible Church and our Healthy Homes program for doing not only a first-class job, but using first-class materials. The house that we worked on was not a real nice house. It was an older house, and it was needed some repair. And Dan Simons, even after we were done with the windows, stayed and did repair on a door and a leaking overhang that was over a door. And that's going on. That's additional above and beyond the budget. Loaves and Fishes that we are a part of. Read the report. We just finished our fifth year with Loaves and Fishes, and it's just amazing to to see the amount of food and then the clothing items that go out. We have completely clothed many families because of the generosity of the people of Calvary Bible Church. All of that is above and beyond the budget. We're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 each year that goes into those programs that are in addition, you know, to your regular offerings. And I just want to say I'm proud to be a part of Calvary Bible Church.
Praise the Lord.
But I would ask you to do something. I want you to pray for John Hogenboom and his partner, Ruth. Ruth is struggling right now. She is John's right-hand man, if you will. And I would just ask you to pray for Ruth. And then I'd ask you to pray for Ron Petrosky, who was my right-hand man. And you know, I don't know who's going to fill his shoes. But I just, you know, thank you, Calvary Bible Church, for your generosity, for your heart, for serving the Lord in these different ministries. And there are others, you know, Helping Hands and the different things that are going on here and the many ministries that go on. And our class yesterday had the privilege of putting on a wedding for a couple who wanted to testify to the Lord, you know, and renew their vows. They were already married, but they wanted to have a church wedding because nobody in their family ever had a church wedding. And they wanted to do that as a testimony, you know, of their saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Calvary Bible Church. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But are the counters the servers?
What's that?
Are the counters the servers? Well, we're just talking about if we have communion, communion's served by the deacons who are counting, right? Or do we have enough servers? If you're a server, why don't you go out and see if there's enough? And Mark, let us know, or someone let us know if there's enough. I mean, we can be like the first century church and just go on even when everything is tough and hard. So, and then as soon as you, or maybe right after communion, we can announce the tally. So, thank you. And by the way, while Norm was talking about how generous the Lord has blessed Calvary Bible Church to be, I've flipped to 2 Corinthians 8 that says that generosity comes, Paul said, because not only as we hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Did you know giving is a grace prompted work of the Holy Spirit, that it's the Spirit of grace in giving, that the Holy Spirit prompts us to give. And I've thought about that, that you can't, no matter how big of a mechanism you start up to try and encourage giving, the greatest mechanism is praying. And so let's thank the Lord. You've been sitting so long. Let's all stand for the prayer, okay? We're going to thank the Lord for the bread, and then the deacons are going to come and serve us, deacons and elders, and we're going to sing and we'll do our induction of new members at the end. But let's bow together. Father, you've told us that this bread is a picture of the sinless, perfect, yielded body of your Son, our Savior, because you, O Father, sent your Son to be the Savior of the world, and that he hung on that cross and became sin for us. Tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming sin for us. Bless us as we hold this bread, thinking of holding in our hands your sacrifice, this picture that you actually gave yourself in suffering, agonizing, sin-bearing punishment for our sins. You bore the wrath of our Father eternally against our sins, forever away from us. Thank you for that. Thank you for this bread. Bless us as we worship you through it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, we're going to sing, "My Hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me, and I'll follow you."
Himself for me and paid the
Thanks for being so flexible. This will be the last one. Here we go. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. For me he died. For me he lives. And everlasting life and light he freely gives. And this bread we hold in our hands is a continuing memorial for us, a reminder that he gave himself for me. So Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this, remembering me." Let's partake together. Dear Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness are our only hope. You saved us by your grace. We cannot unsave ourselves by our weaknesses and failures and faithlessness. Salvation is of the Lord. We thank you for the free gift that you have given. And merely by faith, we receive, and once and for all, our eternal beneficiaries of your sacrifice that has forever paid the debt of our sin. Thank you for this picture of your blood that cleanses us from all sins. We have already been forgiven, but we need to tell you that we agree with you that even throughout today, each one of us, by our words, by deeds, by omission, by commission, have sinned. But those sins are already forgiven. But we don't get the benefit until we are cleansed, as we confess and you cleanse us, because you have already forgiven us. So this cup is a cup of blessing, because it reminds us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I pray that we would know the joy tonight that all of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven, and that every sin that we are consciously aware of, that we have confessed, you have cleansed away, so we can come to you boldly at any moment. Thank you for this cup of blessing. And I pray that we would worship you as the one that we stand solidly upon, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we thank you. Amen. The men are going to pass the cup, and we're going to sing of Christ our solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Second stanza, ladies. When darkness fails his. Let's join them. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And men and ladies, you join us on the chorus. Men, his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. Way. He then is all my hope and stay. with the cups in our hands, let's thank the Lord for his great sacrifice for us, because Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant that's in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it, remembering me. Let's remember him together. And Father, when the devil threatens us by reminding us of how unfaithful we've been, may we remember this moment when through this cup we have said, we believe in your new covenant promise that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you have given us a new heart, you have once and for all, forever forgiven us of all sins, past, present, future. May we be bold in our confident coming to you for help, because you know we have so many needs. Bless us. Thank you for letting us partake. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.